us up to the point that we want to do everything within our power to be ready whenever he decides to come. Well, he said, what manner of person should we be? And he answers his own question in the context of this chapter. We stopped at verse 11 a while ago. I want to talk about what kind of person we should be. In verse 11, he said, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness? We need to be a people who live a holy life. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word holy carries with it the idea of something that is set apart, that is dedicated and devoted. In the Old Testament, God called Israel a holy nation. They were set apart from other nations. In fact, in Leviticus, the 20th chapter, verses 24 to 26, God said, you are a special people to me. I have separated you from other people. And he said, because of that, I have given you something to remind you of that separation. He said, there are certain things that you can't eat. They're unclean to you, to them, to the Jewish people. And he said, the reason I've given you that regulation about what you can't eat, certain animals that are off limits to you, is because I have severed or separated you from other nations that you should be mine. And he didn't want them to forget that. And so he gave them some laws or some restrictions about what they could eat and what they couldn't eat to remind them, to keep in their memory continually the fact that they were a separated people. God said, I severed you from other people that you should be mine. When you get to the New Testament, this idea of holiness and separation is also involved with Christians. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 14, he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part has the temple of God with idols? He said, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In verse 17, he said, this is written to Christians now. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And then in verse 1 of the 7th chapter, you know, the chapter divisions were not arranged by the Holy Spirit. And this is one case where the chapter was divided, I believe, at the wrong place. The thought continues in verse 1 of the 7th chapter when he talked about being holy unto the Lord, and that we present ourselves a sacrifice that we might be holy and acceptable unto God. Perfecting holiness, he said, in the fear of God. So God wants us to be a holy people. That means we're to be severed, separated from the sins of this world. That's why John wrote and said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then in Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. What kind of the Lord's coming? What kind of people should we be? We need to be holy. And we need to remember our distinctiveness, our separateness from the world around us. That doesn't mean we have to wear strange clothes and try to live in caves and monasteries and isolate ourselves and insulate ourselves from society at large. No, the Lord put us out in the middle of it all and said, be salt and light to try to help to save it. But it does mean that while we're in the world, we're not to be of it. Then he answers his question some more. He said, what manner of person should we be? The Lord's coming. His next answer is, in the next verse, he said, we ought to give diligence. Well, before that, he said, we ought to be an expectant people. We ought to live our lives expecting the Lord to come. Do you think very much or spend much time thinking about when the Lord comes? This old world's going to be on fire. And the Lord's going to come, and God's people, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord and to ever be with him in the air. Meet him in the air to ever be with him. The Lord is coming, and we need to expect that to happen. He said, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now I need to comment on that. What does he mean, a new heaven and a new earth? There are some people who think that It's all going to be done here on this earth, and God is going to renovate this earth and fumigate it and purify it, and he's going to assign Christians certain territories for them to rule over. I had a debate, I was telling Lewis the other day, I had a debate in Norway in the late 1950s with a Christadelphian, and he took the position. I asked him, what was the difference between them and the Jehovah's Witnesses about the 144,000? They teach that the 144,000, that number has already been filled, and so all the rest of those witnesses are going to have their reward down here on earth. And so I asked him, what was the difference between them and the witnesses on that subject? And he said, they believe only 144,000 going to heaven, and we don't believe anybody's going to heaven. We think it's all going to be right down here on this earth. Well, he said, we look for new heavens and a new earth. What does that mean? This is an expression that's used twice at the end of the book of Isaiah, in the 65th chapter and again the 66th chapter. And it's used in a context where God is promising the children of Israel who were going into Babylonian captivity that he was going to bring them out back. And he was going to change their location. Their location was Babylon in captivity. But when God brought that remnant back to the land, he brought them back to their own land. He changed their locale. He gave them a new heaven and a new earth. It was different from being by the rivers of Babylon. When they got over there in captivity, one of the saddest psalms in the Old Testament is the 137th Psalm, where the psalmist said, by the rivers of Babylon, this is when the people were taken off in captivity. And he said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down when we remembered Zion, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. And the psalmist lamented it.